Oh, Father, we declare who you are to us. Father, we profess our faith today that you are a faithful God, full of grace and mercy, love to us, Lord, long-suffering. We thank you, Lord God. We have a covenant with you through Jesus Christ, and we have a helper in the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we stand fast today with expectation for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to us, to edify your people today, to strengthen us, to inspire us, to convict us, to lead us today in the truth. And we thank you for it, Lord, now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can be seated. I'd like you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 18. It's been stirring in me for a little while here. This verse. Verse 1 says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Or for this purpose, to inspire us and direct us that we have a habit of prayer, that we continue, that we not allow any prayerlessness or discouragement or unbelief in our life. Now, that's my amplified version. But we ought to always pray. Now, there are times you may pray more or less than other times, and there's various reasons. I'm not going to get into all of that. As the Holy Spirit leads, I might address some things, but that's not my main point here. The point here is that we ought to have a disciplined life of prayer. Sometimes there's people that they are not disciplined, so they don't even like to hear the word. And when you hear anyone say discipline is bondage, don't listen to them any further, because they know nothing, or they have no revelation working in them in that moment. We need to grow and mature in the Lord and become disciplined in walking in the ways of the Lord. Now, something as a discipline is a practice of yours, becomes a habit. A habit's something you do without even having to think about it. And people develop habits in their life. Sometimes habits that are not used for good are actually your barriers to growth and maturity, blessing and prosperity, if you have bad habits. We want to develop the good habits. And that's part of something that should be happening with children, where you're instilling disciplines and good habits. The things that are manifest in your life are a result of what you do daily or habitually. If you want to see where you're at today, look at what you've been doing daily over a period of time, and you can recognize what's working in you or why that's there. Now, sometimes there's things that begin to take place to bring discouragement, which may then lead people to not pray as they should. Now, prayer, let me just qualify this, is simply your communication with God. And communication begins with listening. Learn to wait on the Lord, listen for his word, and then we speak to him as well. He has provided for us a covenant so we can pray and ask for covenant blessings. You have every right to do that. He gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us in truth and to walk in his ways, so we ask for his help. See, there are certain things that need to be a part of your prayer life that would be your daily prayer life. When you understand the principles, then it's easy to go in and out of prayer through the day. And when the disciples asked Jesus to teach on prayer, he gave them the principles that should govern the prayer life, not a prayer to recite, that's religion, but rather the principles. our Father which art in heaven is the worship of Him, or you begin with the acknowledgement of Him. That is the basis of your faith. That is the basis of everything. Who is He to you? And we start there. That should be a daily part of our life, the acknowledgement. Now, it's helpful to sing because that helps you bring what's in your soul out to a greater degree, but singing in itself is not worship, nor do you need to, but it's merely the expression of your faith, the expression of what you believe about Him is what's important. And when it comes to us gathering corporately, it sure helps us to all be speaking the same thing at the same time in unison. There's an amplification of the power of God when we do that. So we have rhythm. There's a reason to have like drums. It's for the rhythm. There might be some groups out there that say, well, drums are evil or something. It's stupid. It's the rhythm. Where we are in cadence together. And then you have a melody. And you see that the virtue with singing it is you're reaching deeper into your soul and pulling out that expression of what you believe. So there's great value in that. Sometimes people don't sing much because they think they can't. It's not about you entertaining everyone or anyone praising you. It's about our Heavenly Father hearing it. And it's about you hearing it as well. Because you hear every word that comes out of your mouth. And you minister grace to the hearer. What comes out of your mouth can minister godly influence or carnal, devilish influence or fleshly things. What's coming out of your mouth? And you hear everything out of your mouth. So if you're a negative, whining, complaining person, then that's how you're renewing your mind. But we need to hear ourselves speak the word. If you want to bring some change to your life, if there's a habit that you have, begin with identifying what you should do. Make yourself do it till it becomes a habit. But also speak who you are relative to that. Speak that word to yourself, because as you're hearing it, it becomes what's a part of you, your belief. Well, we need to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking the word to ourselves. We ought always to pray not just when things are going good or when there's a crisis. Oh, has it come to this? I guess there's nothing else we can do but pray. Well, why wait till then? Why wait till the problem's that bad? Deal with it ahead of time. We've got to recognize there's evil in the world. We're always going to be in a fight, not 24/7 necessarily, but throughout our lifetime there will be different battles to fight and to win. And there are times the enemy in the lives of those around us may seem to be getting the upper hand. But our God is greater, and we need to continue to lay hold of what He's provided for us by our faith, lay hold of it, and that's going to come as a result of the prayer life. If we fail to pray, we're going to be weak and be overcome by what's around us. It's very much a deception to think that in your own ability that you can just kind of coast above things and you'll be fine, because after all, you're such a good person. After all, you're so smart. Well, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one, except Jesus Christ. And He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's our all in all. Hallelujah. Well, what I'm leading up to here is around us, doesn't take any genius to see evil is increasing around us. Now, the Bible, we shouldn't be surprised at that, because the Bible tells us in the end times, that's how it's going to be. Evil will get worse and worse. So don't be surprised. There's a wrong doctrine that every so many years will circulate the body of Christ, and I'm not aware if it is or isn't right now, but nonetheless, and that is that the people of God will bring the kingdom of God to the earth in an absolute sense, where what the Bible teaches is Jesus will return and establish the kingdom of God. Now, we can carry the kingdom of God within us. That's the will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The kingdom comes forth as you do his will. The kingdom being righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We have access to all that. It's for us to be carriers of that. That's a good way to walk around, carrying that, instead of a lot of what the world would want you to carry around, what the devil would want. But God, we can carry that, but nonetheless, evil will continue in this world till Jesus returns and casts Satan in the lake of fire into the pit. Evil will continue to be here on the planet, and it will get worse and worse. Now, if things are getting worse around you, you must be all the more diligent to stay above that. Because if there's more of it around you, then there's the greater potential to tear you down, to pull you down. The potential for that is ever greater. So it's incumbent on God's people to draw on the strength and power of God and rise up stronger. Be a light to this dark world. Now, an interesting thing with light and darkness is that the darker it is, the brighter the light seems to appear. Amen. If you've ever been in a dark room and flick on the lights, like, where in the daytime you have the same lights on and it's nothing to you. It's like, can we get a little more light in here? I like brightly lit rooms. Seems like women tend to like more dimly with it. It's a mood thing, I guess. I like brightly lit rooms. Let's get some light in here. Yeah, I guess maybe because I like to read. And maybe if you're the housekeeper, you don't want it to be too bright because then you can see the dust on the floor or on the whatever. No, I'm just joking. But the darker it is, the brighter the light would shine or seem to be. And in the midst of all the darkness, do not underestimate the light of Jesus Christ coming out from your spirit to people around you. People notice. They might not know what it is. And they might prod you a little bit to see if you're like them, if you're going to get mad real easy, get in some road rage, or if you're going to enter into complaining or covetousness or whatever, or jealousies. They might prod you and prick you a little bit. But if they do that and there's no response to it like they would respond, they say, hey, something really is different about this person. And they say you seem to have joy and you're not smoking crack or anything like that with them. And they think, why are you so happy? Why do you have joy? If you wait, a lot of times people get too aggressive trying to be a witness. If you just wait, people will open a door for you. Yeah, they start complaining. You say, oh, it's a great day. Well, right now you're different than them because they know nothing but this negativity. And they really want what you have, but they want to make sure it's real. Yep. So anyway, in the midst of the darkness, we need to hold fast the light and hold forth the light of Christ in all the fruit of the Spirit. But it's very easy to get discouraged by what's going on. And the same things we're dealing with today, they dealt with in Jesus' time. You had the Roman Empire and their oppression. You had all kinds of things. We can see it in the Bible. And ever since the beginning, there'd be times things went a little better and times it went worse. It'd be times when Israel would have an evil king, and sometimes they'd have a good king. But really, it would come back on the people whether or not they were looking to the Lord and endeavoring to walk in his ways and walk with him, or whether they were just pursuing flesh and allowing the devil then, because of living in sin or in the flesh, because of that gave place to the devil. You see, we are the ones to hinder the Antichrist spirit. At the very end, he will have his little short time there where he's in control of everything. But it says in 2 Thessalonians that the Antichrist spirit won't be fully revealed till he who hinders is taken out of the way. That's talking about the church. The people of God, we're a hindrance. We're a hindrance because we bring some conviction. We bring righteousness. We bring integrity. And people of the world, even though they hate what's going on, they don't have the answers. All you have to do is turn on the news for a little bit. And people are really getting fed up now in our country here. But what we're dealing with here has been in other countries that here or there, different times through history. And some people have it a lot worse than we do with persecution, famine, and so on and so forth. And what happens, it gets to a certain point where the ability of man is insufficient and there's nothing to do but to cry out to God. Many times that's when revivals really happen. We can't just make that happen. There has to be a hunger for truth, a hunger for liberty and freedom. And that cry is beginning to rise in our land today. It's just people don't know there's only one answer, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, Satan will try to take advantage of such things and say a man's going to be your savior, whether it's political or whatever. That man can save himself. That's the great lie. The great lie mentioned in 2 Thessalonians is that man can save himself. Well, as long as you think you don't need God, you're not going to walk with him, you're not going to serve him or anything else. But we realize he is creator, and it's a great attack on God as creator. I mean, now it's down to the obvious things like you're a male or a female. I don't even know how many they say you could be 77 or something different varieties of species. I mean, it's so stupid. You have to have devils to think like that. I mean, it's like, it's just demonic. It's just demonic. And it's all a denial of Jesus being the Lord and authority and God as creator. So there's no end to that. Now, one thing Satan will do is he'll overplay his hand or push too far. And he ends up pushing people right to God. Amen. If he doesn't destroy them first, he'll end up pushing them right to God. Because the nonsense, the deception is so wild. I mean, it's just so crazy. And I firmly believe, and I've been saying this recently, that the move of God, especially among young people, is going to come that as many are going to say, we've had it with all the lies, we're tired of being lied to, we don't have any life, all these carnal fleshly things aren't really getting it for us, we're deceiving ourselves, and there's a cry out for the truth, and at such point, the Holy Spirit, in response to the prayer of the saints, is going to be ministering and moving, bringing conviction to the hearts of people and showing them that Jesus alone is the only way. And we're going to see a move of God once again. But it's not going to be without a lot of hardship first till people are broken of their pride, broken of their flesh, and begin to cry out. And that day will come. So when if we recognize that as a truth, what I'm sharing, then we won't be so sorrowful over all that's going on around us. Because it's going to have to be that way. The suffering has to be there to a point. And again, you can study nations, traveling to many nations. I like to learn their history, study them, ask a lot of questions. And you'll find that where moves of God have been, And I don't mean just a little bless me service or something, but a real move of God. There's been a lot of suffering. And people are broken because the release of the Spirit and the power of God is going to follow the brokenness. We cry out to Him in simple, childlike faith. Fundamental doctrine, according to Hebrews 6:1, is repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Those two go together. You can't turn away from the flesh and from sin and from self if you're not turning to God. It's not just, oh, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry, God. No, no. We come in faith. We begin to see Him for who He is, that He is good, that He is love, that He's been merciful to us, that He alone is worthy of all of our life. Well, in the midst, as we're aware of deterioration, and there's a lot of that around us, there's no end to saying, oh, it's not like it used to be, not like it used to be. No end to that. We need to be agents of change. And I'm going to get into that parable here. I'm just still hitting on this. We ought to always to pray. I want to really encourage you. We can bring change. We can be carriers of the kingdom of God. We don't eradicate all evil from the earth. That's not until Jesus comes back. But while we're here, we can bring deliverance because He is deliverance. We can bring deliverance from evil to people we encounter. We can't let ourselves react to what we see in the flesh, react to flesh in the flesh. You don't get mad and change things. But rather, we need to see that the people are deceived, they're in bondage. And we need to begin to pray, not just say prayer. See, that gets into religion. But pray for the release of the ministry of the Holy Ghost, because it's only the Holy Spirit who changes people. Prayers can be worthless and meaningless. Prayers. But the prayer of faith, the targeted prayer, releasing the ministry of the Holy Ghost, He changes the people then. And if there's a little bit of a desire, a hunger, Lord, help me, set me free. And those of you that are saved, somewhere you had that cry in your heart. Lord, I want to know truth. I want to be free. However that came forth in your own life at that time. And the Holy Spirit was right there, and there was somebody praying for you. Amen. We want to learn to target people with our prayers. You see, if you think about seeing the whole world changed, you'll be overwhelmed with that thought very quickly. But you need a target. There's a great book, one that really was very impacting in my life, called The Intercessor by Rees House. And in the beginning, he was moved on by the Spirit of God, and he would target like the town drunk or somebody. And he would pray and intercede for them and reach out to them as well until they got saved. Then it would be certain like numbers of people. Then it'd be like whole towns. And by the end of his life, he had a group of intercessors. It was during World War II. And there were certain major miracles during that war. Yep. And he had a group of people praying, and they didn't have, you know, internet and all the rest to know what was going on. And he recorded it in his diary as God was revealing things in prayer. And then they'd find out when word would get back. Like the one was the Battle of Dunkirk. The whole Allied force at that point was about to be destroyed by the Germans. They had backed up to Dunkirk. It was like a beach city, Belgium. And they were all going to be killed. A fog moved in, and Churchill called on every person with a boat, little fishing boat, little thing, to go out and haul soldiers back. And they got 350,000 men back to fight another day. And then the fog lifted. You can't very well shoot anyone in a fog, thick fog, nor can you fly airplanes and bomb and all the rest. You know, the same miracle happened when George Washington was on Long Island. I think it was Long Island. And the army was cornered there by the British. And a fog moved in between them and the British. And they got all the men back. Same miracle. Sometimes God will even do the same thing over again. But you know what happened before such a time as that? The Great Awakening. From 1735 to 1760, somewhere in there. It's not like an exact start and stop date, but it's approximate. The move of God swept the whole eastern coast of the United States. Not everyone got saved, but a lot of people did. That's a real move of God. A lot of people got saved. And that was the only thing that united the people. And there was enough faith in God going forth to bring change, enough to the birth of our country, really, but also to bring deliverance from such things. It's interesting, the World War II era is one of my favorite times in history to study. So much happened. And after World War I, there was such poverty. It was horrible. You can watch films on some of that. They actually, have filmed back then. And horrible suffering. And the Germans were very bitter and hard. And they were open then to an Antichrist spirit rise up and then personate Adolf Hitler. 60 million people ended up dead in that five-year period. 60 million people were killed. Economies crushed. And something I felt the Lord showed me that I say every now and then, they brought it on themselves. Because the scripture, God said, I'll bless those that bless Israel and I'll curse those that curse her. And all the European nations were in on this, sending Jews to these re-education camps. How do you know? Because I was at Auschwitz. And they have like a information thing there. It's still standing like it was when the Allies went in there in 1945. And that's in Poland. The Germans occupied that. Most of the Poles, they wouldn't even want to take us in because I found where we were close to that. I was curious about it. Finally, there was two young men, their brothers, they were interpreting for us, but they took us in. It's horrible, the oppression, just to walk on the grounds there. All the people that were killed, murdered. And there was a big map, a big board, and they had strings going to Auschwitz from every European country. Except England wasn't. They brought a curse on themselves. The whole continent was cursed with war. And that's really when this nation rose up in being the financial dominating force. So it wasn't up to that point. But they violated that principle in the Bible. They persecuted Israel and brought a curse on themselves. Well, God has plans for nations, and Satan has plans for nations. And we see it in the books of the prophets. It's laid out. Especially Isaiah, Jeremiah, they prophesied to the nations, not just to Israel or Judah. And as I was saying earlier, they have good times, they have bad times, depending on where they were at. And our nations followed a course very similar. I've been saying for probably 30 years, we desperately need another revival of the younger generation. We're losing our country. But now we're seeing it. And I remember in 2016, prior to the election, I remember wondering before the Lord, is there enough people to give us a little more time? Enough people praying, godly people praying. Is there enough, Lord? So I didn't know. Well, he gave us another 4 years. Our nation was more prosperous from 2016 to 2020 than all of history. Yep. Now we have an evil leader. I'm not afraid to say that. Amen. Evil. Evil. It's not about parties or whatever else. It's just an evil person with evil intentions, yielded to demons. And it's taken our country down. But it's not just one. There's a lot of people blindly following after that. You see, that's how it was in Nazi Germany. It wasn't just one. There was one at the top. One who could motivate and stir the masses. But you had, just this whole slew of people who are full of pride. And they're going to show their superiority and all this evil, evil stuff. And that same type of spirit's being stirred again in the earth. And the need for prayer is so great. Yesterday I thought back. I remembered a man who's a prophetic voice in this day is Jonathan Kahn. And 3 years ago he had organized a prayer gathering in Washington, D.C., and they live streamed it. We tuned into that. We were part of it here. Some of you were here. We were praying all day with them. And he was calling, and many others. It wasn't just him. He was the organizer of it, but the motivator. But there were many other prophetic voices who were present, saying the same thing, calling the nation to repentance. But he shared something. I listened back over this. Okay, I listened back over when he was sharing yesterday. And praise God for our devices. I mean, you can just say, a thought hits my mind, tap, 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 and listen to something that took place 3 years ago. So I did. And he had shared how, we had a great move of God in prayer, of which I was a part of, many of you were a part of, going back to the 80s. There was a great move of God in prayer for this nation. And we began to prosper. And people would attribute it to Ronald Reagan. Well, he was a good president. That's not the reason why. That's right. It was the people of God across the nation were in intercession to a high degree. And in my mind back then, we didn't hold a candle to the people of the 40s and 50s because they didn't have all the pleasure, entertainment stuff drawing them away like we did 30 years ago and do today much, much worse. But there was a move of God and it was rooted in prayer. But it wasn't like something you would clearly just see and identify unless you're really looking at the big picture. And I've been pastoring over 40 years, so I have some history I can look back over. And I like to listen to the older people as a younger man. Listen to them and hear and try to understand and discern what the Spirit of God was doing when there was a move of God and what was happening when there wasn't. And the thing that's very Well, I'll say it this way. According to Ecclesiastes, if you increase knowledge or wisdom, you increase sorrow and grief. Why? Because you knew how it could be and should be, but it's not. You cannot live your life focusing on how you think things should be or could be, or you just get saddened because they're not like that. We need to have the hope of the glory of God and be releasing faith on a continuum basis and walking in love to carry life. But you can't just say, well, things ought to be a certain way. You end up becoming a critic, a complainer, and a judgmental person. Well, it's not this way. Yeah, it's not that way. Well, nothing's perfect. You're not perfect. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect anything except God. He's perfect. Keep our eyes on Him. But we endeavor to keep releasing faith to see things changing to be the way He wants them to be. To keep our focus there with that. Well, there's sorrow and sadness around us. However, we need to stay diligent to the end. And you can only do what you can do. Don't let yourself take on something more than what you should do. You're just going to frustrate yourself. But know what it is you should do and do that. In other words, we can't save the world. You can reach out to one person. You can take time for one person. Yes. You can do a little bit. And the more we have increase, the more we can do if we so choose. One of the things that's happening with the great influx of people coming into our nation illegally from other nations is because they believe they have a better chance of having food on the table here than maybe where they were, or it'd be a little safer. Something like that's believed, or someone wouldn't do all that. Why would you do all that? You know, when we celebrate the pilgrims coming here, they came for a better life too. They came for a better life. And there were a lot of Indian tribes didn't like it. Hey, you're coming in on our land. Same thing happening. Maybe it's a sowing and reaping thing going on here. I don't know. But you have people really getting up in arms about all this. And a lot of times people won't pursue any change till it hits a tipping point. And again, you could turn on the news and you hear it all the time. People are getting angry and upset about stuff. It's hitting a tipping point. Well, we do what we can. We have a food pantry here. We help X number of families without any demands or qualifications on them. We do what you can. We do what we can in missions. We're not going to save the whole world, but you can start somewhere. As God appoints a relationship. One of the things that I experienced when I went to Haiti last I was there was, I don't know how many years ago it was now, 5 or 8, or I lose track of time anymore. But in certain areas had so much poverty, and you didn't have like work, like jobs to go get. That's why you're going to have poverty. It's overwhelming. Where do you start? It's overwhelming. You know, if you're in a neighborhood and there's like one family who their house burnt down or something and they need a lot of help and everybody pitches in, that's easy in comparison. If you have millions of people, it's overwhelming. So what do we do? Nothing because we're overwhelmed? No, you start somewhere, you do something, that little bit. I mean, that's something for each one of us to know before the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? When Paul encountered Jesus, what would you have me to do, Lord? That became the heart cry. Well, I didn't get to the parable here. when he did that. There was a judge in a city, didn't fear God, regard man. There was a widow in that city. She came saying, avenge me, my adversary. Now, if you're a widow, Bible widow, you have no one to help you. And that's being in a place of utter helplessness. When the Bible speaks of giving to the poor, the word poor, in the Greek, there's two different words, but we're to help each. One is, you're working, doing what you can, but it's not enough. Then there's those that are poor where they can't do for themselves. And God wants us to help people. But to ever be in a place you can't do anything for yourself, man hates being in that place. Yeah, I shared when I was in the hospital last year, earlier this year, feeling completely helpless. It's a horrible place to be. But regardless of how you feel, whatever position you feel you're in, you have a helper. You have the Holy Spirit who is your helper. You have a covenant with God. We have access to the power of God. If we won't allow discouragement to put us down and keep us down, and unbelief, and rise up and begin to lay hold of the power of God, we can rise up again and walk and be a blessing. Don't be afraid to let someone help you. If you are in a helpless position, as much as all humanity hates being in that place, helpless, but God, his compassion still stirred. He still cares. And we need to embrace the simplicity. When you're in a battle, when you're in a fight, you've got to break it down simple. And this is a simple parable. A simple parable. The judge, because this woman kept pestering him, he finally deals with her situation. But the simplicity of it is that God's not like that. Shall he not avenge his own elect that cried day and night to him, though he bear long with them? God hears you. He hears the prayer of the righteous. I tell you, he'll avenge them speedily. Verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? We need to continue to use our faith. And Jesus taught that faith, like a mustard seed, just a little bit, if you'll use it, it's going to begin to work for you. Will he find faith, or will he find us releasing faith? When we see the things happening around us, are we going to respond in faith or respond in the flesh? Are we going to respond in discouragement or respond in faith? That mustard seed faith, if we'll use it, will produce. God will deliver us. He is a deliverer. He is our helper. He is all that we need. Don't allow discouragement. We can affect change. No, you're not going to change the whole world and everything and everyone. But begin to target your prayers towards somebody. The person you're working with. Maybe it's a family member who's gone astray. A neighbor. Just to begin to target someone with your faith. I just want to encourage you to do your part. Don't allow the magnitude of what's happening around us to bring you to a place of being inactive. Don't throw your hands up and say, well, it's no use. Do your part. Do your part. And there's a momentum. The law of momentum begins to pick up. God's people can get stronger and stronger. And we see more and more deliverance and healing and victories in the lives of people. When I watch things that were happening, like World War II time, I think, man, it must have been so depressing and oppressive for people. But I believe the prayers of the saints brought the nations out of it. And the thing with the eagle, it's like ebb and flow, the tide going in and out. We need to keep bringing in the tide, the living waters of God. And it begins with prayer, and it doesn't end there. We need to hold fast the word of life. We need to continue to be a witness and a testimony and show forth integrity, love. But it begins with prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that every heart here be encouraged today. Lord, that we have an assurance in our heart that we can make a difference. That we can bring change. That we can bring a release of the power of God and see people delivered out of the evil that's attacking the nations of the world. We thank you for that, Father. Father's brother, Alan's ministering in Tanzania right now. Father, I pray the power of God be released to him and the Mirabella family that he's with. Lord, we thank you for those unreached villages they're going to, remote villages. And Father, for Brother Pradeep in Sri Lanka, Father, going to the unreached villages in the mountains of Sri Lanka. For Brother Israel in India, going to the unreached tribal people of northern India. We thank you, Lord God. We have friends. We have relationships. We've been sowing into the lives of people, Lord God. We believe, Father God, that that which we've sown shall produce fruit. There shall be the going forth of the light of Jesus Christ, and many shall be saved, and signs and wonders shall be done, Lord. Bring a confirmation of the gospel. And Father, for those around us where we are reaching out in our workplace, our families, our neighborhoods, Father, just continue to give boldness to your people here, as it was in Acts chapter 4, a boldness in the Holy Ghost to speak forth the word of God, to not be ashamed of the gospel, to be bold. We thank you, Lord, you're working with us with signs following. Father, as we prepare to dismiss, Father, we do so with a confidence in the Holy Ghost. Lord, that there would be a granting of victory to everyone here. Lord, that those that need answers to problems or questions, they shall come by the Spirit of God. For you're made unto us wisdom, Lord. You are our light. You're our wisdom. You're the answer. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We go forth praising you, shouting the victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.